Good morning. This is a meeting of the House Fishery Committee, and it will come to order at 10:08 a.m. in room 120. Welcome, everyone. Please remember to turn your phones off or silence them. And today is Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. Happy Valentine's Day. Members present are Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Fansler, Representative Eastman, and myself, Chair Stutes. Let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. We are also joined, Representative Christ Tompkins.
Not to disrupt the momentum, Madam Chair, I just wanted to note it. I'll be in and out today with a bill hearing and energy committee, but I'll be sure to circle back, especially if we're making committee action.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. We are also joined by Kelly Burnett from House Records, Kelsey Goodell from the LIO, and, of course, my fisheries aide, Reed Harris. Please note at 11 o'clock we will gavel out and begin the Department of Fish and Game House Finance Subcommittee. That meeting will be chaired by Representative Ortiz. We also have Representative Chenault joining us. Today we're bringing back House Bill 87, Conflict of Interest, Board of Fisheries, Board of Game. During the last meeting for this bill, we adopted the committee substitute version U as the working document. We have a number of amendments before the committee, and would the sponsor wish to speak to their amendment? Representative Chenault, amendment number one.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move amendment number one.
I will object for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, a couple of issues. As you well know, you have a couple of pieces of legislation here that I've drafted just a minute to. Basically, Madam Chairman, what this would do is this would change the current three-year cycle of boards to a five-year cycle. And, Madam Chairman, a specific reason for that is I don't believe right now on a three-year cycle that we get the information back that we just predicated all the new regulations on. Not only that, do we not get it back in time to understand it. Most of these fish run on between a 4 and 6 year cycle, other than the pink salmon fishery that I'm aware of now. This bill also, or this amendment would also specify that meetings would be held in communities with populations of 4,000 or more within the applicable fishery. So, Madam Chairman, I'll try to answer any questions that I might be able to on that, but that's the crux of the amendment right now.
Thank you, Representative Chenault. Are there any questions for Representative Chenault? Brief it is. Thank you. I am going to Representative Eastman.
Well, just a question to get further clarity on this amendment. Where historically have these meetings been held, and what communities would this amendment open those meetings up to in the future?
And thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Eastman, for the most part, board meetings have been held in Anchorage, Wasilla, and I'll just bring up the Cook Inlet. They've been held in Wasilla and Anchorage as major places that these meetings have been held. I represent a community that has numerous commercial fishermen in it. It does meet the standard, and I'm trying to remember the last actual real board meeting that was held there was, I think, 17 years ago. It seems like the Upper Cook Inlet is one of the most contentious areas of the state. And, you know, I feel that my folks ought to at least have an opportunity to not have to travel hundreds of miles, spend hundreds of dollars on hotel rooms to be able to get their opinions placed before the board. So, you know, it's certainly not meant to stop any particular city from being able to have a board meeting, but I think when you have a board that meets and controls the opportunities for fishing in your district, at some point in time they ought to have the opportunity to fish in that, or have that meeting held in their district.
Representative Eastman, follow-up?
Follow-up through the chair. And the going to a five-year cycle, what effect would that have fiscally? Would that be a cost? Would that be a savings? What do you anticipate?
Well, I think it's probably two or threefold. I think they get better information. They're not trying to make new decisions based on a management plan that they don't know if it's working or not in a three-year cycle. I believe it would save on the board of fish. It would save, my guess is probably $100,000 over time because of fewer meetings. And I think it also help the fish and game as far as the time they spend yearly or on a three-year cycle trying to gather information for the new Board of Fish meeting and the new regulations that are coming in place. So I think it saves money in both of those aspects. Also would save money in all the fisheries that are involved in it, whether they be commercial sports or the personal use fisheries, when it comes to having to go to meetings every 3 years versus every 5 years.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Kreis-Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think maybe more comments rather than a question or questions. Just in light that the Energy Committee starts in 60 seconds, so I might be gone for the vote, but I'm compelled by the idea, and I've heard from a number of people that there's probably merit here. I take a little pause and wonder if this is the best sort of forum to advance that and sort of vet the idea underlying the amendment and its impacts. So worthy of consideration, but just sort of wanted to note on process or vehicle. Maybe there are other options out there to look at as well.
Thank you, Representative Kreis-Tompkins. Representative Fensler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, I do have a question. It seems that the HB 87 is aimed at both the Board of Fisheries and the Board of Game. I was wondering, and forgive my ignorance on this subject, is there a reason that this is targeted only at the Board of Fisheries? Is this something that already exists for the Board of Game, or is it something that you felt only needed to apply to fisheries?
It applies to both the Board of Fish and the Board of Game, and they both exist under the same statute. And so rather than addressing just one, we determined it was just as easy to address both of them. The Board of Game is constrained by the same conflict rules.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm referring to the amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you, through the chair, Representative Fensler. This relates to the Board of Fish, not to the Board of Game.
Not right. And is there a reason that you felt only to address it to the Board of Fish and not the Board of Game? Or?
I haven't looked at the real issue of the Board of Game. I don't follow that board as close, probably, as we follow the Board of Fish. This was an issue that's come up, life cycle of fish, and that relates more to the Board of Fish than Game, so it relates to the Board of Fish.
Seeing no other comments, I am going to oppose this amendment. I believe that this is the wrong vehicle for this amendment. We have House Bill 88, which is still alive and well, and I think that this amendment would be much more appropriate on that bill as opposed to House Bill 87. Therefore, I will be opposing this, and I will maintain my objection. So I will be calling for a roll call vote, please. Madam Secretary.
This is Amendment 1 for House Bill 87. Representative Tarr.
No.
Representative Newman is absent. Representative Representative Eastman.
Yes.
Representative Chenault.
Yes.
Representative Fansler.
No.
Representative Tompkins is absent. Chair Stutes.
No.
I have two yeas and three yeas. Two yeas, three nays.
With two yeas and three nays, this amendment does not pass. Amendment number two. I will have Mr. Harris speak to amendment number two, please.
Madam Chair, do you need to move amendment number two? Make a motion to adopt amendment number two.
Please. I move amendment number two. Thank you.
And then I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Reed Harris. I'm staff to Representative Stutes. Amendment number two deletes the word substantial from the last line on page two of version U of this bill, the working document. Line six now reads, shares a financial interest with the member. This is referring to immediate family members. This was brought to our attention by a constituent of Representative Stutes yesterday, and so we really wanted to draft this amendment just to get legislative intent on the record. Substantial, according to our attorneys, is commonly used in drafting, and if you'd permit me, Madam Chair, to read the definition.
Permission granted.
Thank you. Substantial, as defined by Black's Law Dictionary, the fourth edition, is of real worth and importance, of considerable value, or valuable. Executive Director of the Board of Fisheries, Glenn Haidt, has spoken a couple times on this subject where members have declared certain things, and the chair has said, your conflict is recognized. However, it doesn't appear to be substantial enough in order that you should be recused from either deliberating or voting. So the amendment does just that. I suppose I'm just here to put that on the record, and it's the will of the chair if you wanted to accept or withdraw the motion, or excuse me, amendment.
And that was the main purpose, is to put it on the record, and I will withdraw this amendment. Amendment number three, Representative Eastman, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Madam Chairman, was your objection removed for amendment number two?
The chairwoman withdrew her amendment.
Oh, you withdrew the amendment.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Okay. Thanks.
Madam Chair, I would like to move amendment number four.
Amendment number three?
Well, could we discuss four first? I think it might be a better order for the discussion.
Okay. Amendment number four, and I will object for purposes of discussion.
Madam Chair, page one, line five, in copy of the bill we have in front of us, reads, notwithstanding any other provisions of this chapter, a personal or financial interest. And I know there was some discussion amongst constituents on what does personal mean there and what would be the effects if we were to remove the words personal or, which would leave the text to read a financial interest instead of a personal or financial interest. And I understand that there was much discussion about this among those who are discussing this bill. So I wanted to raise this so that it's on the record in terms of what personal or financial interest means. I know it's a legal definition, and it doesn't have anything to do with personal in the same sense of personally used fisheries, for example.
Thank you. If we could have Mr. Harris come forward, please, and speak to this.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Reed Harris, staff to Representative Louis Stutes, yourself. This amendment was brought to our office yesterday by Representative Eastman, the sponsor, and we had a brief discussion, and We felt it was important to maintain the phrasing personal or financial interest in the bill, because you could have a personal interest, as in your son or daughter is fishing, if you're a board member, excuse me, is fishing in a fishery that you are deliberating before the board. Even though you don't have any financial tie with the fishery, that could still be a personal interest, and vice versa. You could have a partner or something along those lines that is not related to you and what is defined by immediate family in the bill. So it was our thought it was important to maintain both the personal and financial interest aspects of this bill. And again, for the record, personal interest does not refer to personal use fisheries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman, and through the chair to the amendment sponsor. I'm just wondering, having had that clarification put on the record, if that eases your comfort in the concern about the personal use fishery, that you know, that it would have been made clear in the legislative record here that personal in this circumstance is defined in a different way than personal use fishery.
Yes, I am satisfied, and I withdraw my amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Eastman. And amendment number 3?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move amendment number 3.
I will object for purposes of discussion.
The purpose of this amendment is to insert the following text into the bill. Personal or financial interest does not include the involvement of a member or an immediate family member of a member in personal use fishing as defined in Alaska Statute 16.05.940. This amendment comes from earlier discussion we had when the bill was initially presented, because currently the bill does not have any exemption, and according to the letter of the law, someone who participates in personal use fisheries would unfortunately be wrapped up in this, and I think that would be an unfortunate and unintended consequence. So this language would make sure that that never happens.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Eastman. Mr. Height, could you please come forward and address this for the committee?
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Glenn Haight. I serve as the lead with board support section and executive director with the Alaska Board of Fisheries. Speaking to Amendment 3 from Representative Eastman, you know, the immediate point I would make with personal use fisheries, and I would include subsistence in this as well, is it doesn't rise to the threshold of the type of conflicts that tend to get board members recused. You know, we have you know, anyone can participate in a personal use fishery and in a subsistence fishery, so it isn't that another board member who votes on a particular issue can't the next season show up and participate in that activity. So in my experience, it's not something that's risen to a level of recusing anyone from. I also, Madam Chair, that Cheryl Brookings with the Department of Law and Natural Resource Section is on, if I have in any way not provided a full answer for that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I really appreciate Representative Eastman bringing these issues forward so we can get it on the legislative record. And I just wonder if the individual from Department of Law could just say, it sounds like, you know, absent this amendment being adopted, it's still not likely that this, you know, is ever going to be a problem, but possibly helpful that we're just, you know, fleshing it out here. And I just wonder if they could respond to that.
Ms. Brookings, are you available there?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair. Yes, and I agree with what Mr. Haight just explained. The personal use fishery does apply to everyone, so this language would probably eliminate any confusion on that point, but it wouldn't change the existing law that if there's a general applicability to everyone, that doesn't generally rise to the level of a conflict of interest that would require a board member to be recused from participating in discussions or a vote.
Thank you. Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so just as a follow-up, because this is a good learning thing for me, so what differentiates this is the applicability for the personal use fishery. You know, that's something that's equally available to everyone, and so that's, you know, why there's, you know, it wouldn't be a conflict with that, which is in contrast to you know, the decisions that make allocation, which limit availability to certain people.
Ms. Brookings?
Oh, I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Are you asking if I agree with that statement? I think that's correct. I would agree with that.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much.
Great. Representative Eastman?
Yes, Madam Chair. Since we are now introducing this new term, you know, personal or financial interest, I think it would be very important for the public to have in the statute that this isn't going to apply to anyone, so that there's no confusion. And I can certainly see if it's not inserted, there being many questions which would be unnecessary. Thank you.
Are there any other comments? I will maintain my objection and ask for a roll call vote, please.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease.
I'm sorry to slow us up. I kind of missed.
So, Madam Secretary, if we could have a roll call vote on amendment number 3, please.
You can ask for brief at ease if you want.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. On record. Okay. Madam Secretary.
And this is on Amendment 3 for HB 87. Representative Christ Tompkins is absent. Representative Newman is absent. Representative Eastman?
Aye.
Representative Tarr?
No.
Representative Chenault?
Yes.
Representative Fansler?
No.
Chair Stoops?
No.
I have 3 yeas, 2 nays.
No, you have 3 nays.
I'm sorry. Representative Eastman is a nay. I have 2 yeas, 3 nays. Thank you.
I was a yes vote.
You were a yes vote, so I did have 3. Should we?
2.
You have 2 yeas, 3 nays.
2 yeas, 3 nays.
Can I review my vote? I have Representative Tarr, nay. I have Representative Eastman, yay. Representative Chenault, nay.
Yay.
Yay. Yeah. Representative Fansler, nay. Representative Stoops, yay.
Nay.
Nay. Thank you. Chair Stoops, I have 2 nays, 3 yays.
No.
2 yays.
We have 2 yays. 3 nays, this amendment fails. Thank you. Brief at ease. Are there any further comments from this committee? Okay, seeing none, I will now open up public testimony. Please limit your testimony to 2 minutes. We have limited time. So with public testimony open, I will go to Homer, Wes Humbert.
Yes, thank you, ma'am, Mr. Stoops and the board. I missed the meeting the other day when we were talking about a conflict of interest, and I just had a few minutes, so I thought I'd stop down. I'm glad I got a chance to testify. I've been a fisherman in Cook County since 1966 and a resident of Homer, Alaska since 1971. I have a vested interest on what goes on in the commercial fishery all over the state. But what I'm concerned about is we talked about conflicts. The whole board of fish is in conflict, and so is the board of game. And the reason why is three years ago when we had our Board of Fish meetings in Anchorage, we thought we might have gained some ground, and all of a sudden afterwards the board goes and generates proposals, and I think if you had the department go in and look it up, board generated proposals were not legal. The board goes out and they make their own proposals. And I believe if you look at the Department of Law, you'll find out that that's a bad issue. And I think the governor has told them, no more board generator proposals. I'm on the local advisory board here in Homer, and all the local advisory boards going to give their, what are we doing if we're on a board and we're going to tell them what we think should be done? And everybody gives their testimony at the board, and then all of a sudden, the board goes in and makes their own proposals. Everyone that goes to one of them, every time there's a board-generated proposal, I believe they're all in a conflict of the law. And I just wanted to get that out so you can check it out and find out if I'm not right. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? Thank you. We have Duncan Fields, who is here in the room. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Duncan Fields. I'm from Kodiak. Today I'm representing the communities of Old Harbor and Yuzinki, particularly the community quota entities and the respective communities, Cape Barnabas Inc. and Yuzinki Community Holding Company. on behalf of those communities, I've been involved in every Board of Fish meeting in the Kodiak area since 1986. I frequently attend every Board of Fish meeting during a year, and every year I've attended one or more Board of Fish meetings. I've been engaged with the board on a number of issues over a long period of time, and I believe the conflict of interest issue that you're dealing with here is of great import, and I believe that moving this bill forward would help resolve some of the concerns I and other people that have worked with the board have had for a number of years. I appreciated the discussion that you had relative to the meaning of the substantial financial interest, line 6 on page 2 under C. I believe it's important to tease out the nuance of what the committee means relative to substantial. And I appreciate using the Black's Dictionary as the basis for that interest. I would note, though, that when we're talking about the immediate family members and defining that as someone who shares a substantial financial interest, we haven't used that same qualifier relative to the board member, him or herself. And so the board member could be disqualified for any kind of a minimal substantial or minimal financial interest, and not necessarily a financial interest that raises the level of substantial. So once again, maybe committee intent relative to the type of financial interest that would disqualify the board member, as well as the type of financial interest that would disqualify a family member, may be of merit as you move forward, Madam Chair. And then,
Mr. Fields, if you could sum it up, please.
Thank you.
Thank you kindly. Are there any questions for Mr. Fields? Representative Christ-Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Fields, to your last comment about, if I understand it correctly, perhaps calibrating the standard for which there's a conflict of interest for the board member himself or herself to perhaps the same level as it exists presently in the bill for immediate family members. Is that something that you see as a positive change?
I certainly do. I think that without clarity of the intent, both by the committee and ultimately by the legislature, there will be ambiguity that will allow a board chairman in their determination of conflicts latitude that may not be the intent of this body. And whether or not it's calibrated to be exactly the same between a family member and the board member, I wouldn't presume to suggest, but some calibration I think may be necessary in terms of legislative intent.
Follow up. And my understanding is if there was some kind of calibration, therefore board members themselves would Well, actually, never mind. I think I understand, though. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, thank you, Mr. Fields. We will go to the Cordova LIO, Jack Hopkins.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I just want to go
Please, on. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Jack Hopkins. I am representing myself. I'm a 60-year commercial fisherman, native Alaskan, and I just want to go on record as being opposed to this amendment. Number one, the five-year cycle, I think we should just leave it alone and let it ride, and hearings being in communities with a population of 4,000 would eliminate our community, and it would be detrimental to the folks in our area not being able to...
Mr. Hopkins, if you would like to speak directly to the bill, those amendments were not accepted, so they are not part of this bill.
Okay. I just wanted to go on record. I have, so thank you.
Thank you. We have Andrew Smallwood in Cordova.
Good morning. My name is Andrew Smallwood. I'm a commercial fisherman in Prince William Sound. And I came here to testify on Amendment 1, which failed. But something that Representative Chenault said particularly struck me. He said by going to an every five-year cycle, we could save up to $100,000. And that brought to mind the fact that one of the glories of Alaska is its fisheries management system, at least for salmon. It is the best in the world, and there's no question about that. And it's given us the sustainable fisheries we prize and depend on. And the border fish is central to this system, and the system works because it is profoundly democratic. But as it stands, even on a three-year cycle, we only get 3 minutes to testify as members of the public, interested members of the public, every 3 years. And so to save money by decreasing access for the public to the border fish during its deliberations is to go in the wrong direction. I just wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions from this committee? Seeing none, we will go to Mark Richards of Fairbanks. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good morning, Chair Stutes and members of the committee. My name is Mark Richards. I'm the Executive Director of Resident Hunters of Alaska.
Excuse me.
I hope you all had a chance to read the letter that we sent in yesterday in opposition to this bill. We're particularly concerned about the initial language, notwithstanding any other provisions of this chapter, and that it overrides other aspects of the Executive Branch Ethics Act that we feel would not be, it just would be a bad thing. With all due respect, Chair Stutes, I think I understand what you're trying to do with this bill, and I really think it's about fisheries and about the Board of Fisheries. And as we said in our letter, we'd certainly like to see this be amended to where it only involves the Board of Fisheries, but our organization wants to see more transparency on the Board of Game, not less. We already have some issues with conflict of interest. We're seeing other things now that have changed where in the past when a Board of Game member was appointed, I've been the executive director of an organization like myself or involved in another way, that typically they would resign those positions, and we're afraid that this bill would lead to people like that being allowed to hold those positions while serving on the board, creating further conflicts. But the gist of it is, and I think it was clear, and came up last week during the meeting with Representative Chris Tompkins also mentioned that this is mostly about fisheries, and I think Representative Chenault's amendment that failed leads us to that conclusion too. So we really like to keep the Board of Game out of this, and we appreciate what you're trying to do. There are issues on the Board of Fisheries, but the Board of Fisheries is completely different than the Board of Game, and these issues are more prevalent on the Board of Fisheries.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Richards. Are there any questions? Seeing none, we will go to Nathaniel Rose from Kodiak.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Nathaniel Rose. I'm from Kodiak, Alaska. I'm representing myself as a Kodiak seiner, salmon fisherman. I'm commenting on House Bill 87 and voicing my support, changing requirements to the Board of Fish recusal issue. I support this bill as I think it allows the Board of Fish members to deliberate on matters in which they have personal experience, and I think that that's extremely important. I think that we place experts or relative experts in their fields onto the Board of Fish. However, then we don't allow them to deliberate on issues that they might be able to shed light on highly contentious issues, especially in the fisheries. And I think that that personal connection and that the value in that information is lost. And I voice my support for this. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Are there any questions for Mr. Rose? Seeing none, is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify? Seeing no others, they're unavailable. Seeing no others, I will now close public testimony. With that brings House Bill 87 back before this committee for discussion. Are there any further questions from this committee? Representative Eastman.
Yes, Madam Chair. I had a chance to hear the testimony and read the statement that the resident hunters of Alaska proposed, and I think they have a valid point. I'd like to see an amendment constructed so we can discuss resolving that concern that they have.
Representative Eastman, on the line we have Linda Bruce, who could address this, I'm sure, the statute issue. Ms. Bruce, are you there?
Madam Chair, I'm here.
There is a question about the statute 39.52.120 versus 220. There was a question as to whether why it was put in 120 as opposed to 220.
For the record, this is Linda Bruce with Legislative Legal Services. This bill creates a separate procedure for conflicts from the procedure outlined under AS 3952220. So it wouldn't be appropriate, given the current language of the bill, to place it within 220.
Representative Eastman, do you have further questions?
Madam Chair, well, my question, I guess, rather the concern that has been brought to us deals with, you know, what effect that this bill has in superseding some of the currently existing language with regards to things like disclosure requirements and serving on outside organizations that might, you know, have a position before the board, those kinds of things. And so I guess the question to our representative from Ledge League would be, does this current language, in fact, supersede any of those previous or current requirements?
Through the chair, Representative Eastman, it is correct that the current language supersedes the other requirements, such as the procedure found under 3952220. So this creates a separate procedure.
Thank you.
Are there further questions? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion. Representative Fensler?
Sorry, I think this is the time to comment, I guess, before the...
Okay.
I realize before I make that motion. You know, I just wanted to, this is not really a question, but more of a comment for our discussion that's generally open right now. And, you know, I'm generally supportive of this bill. I just do want to make sure that I get on the record that I think it's incredibly important that we have boards that are set up that represent all of our different uses for Board of Game and for Board of Fisheries, and whether that's you know, personal use or commercial or sport or subsistence. Generally, I want to make sure that everyone has a voice at the table. I hope that, and my understanding of this is that it's the intention that those voices now can, you know, participate in the debate when something comes before these boards and provide that valuable insight that they might not have been able to provide in the past. I certainly do not wish this to become something that suppresses conflicts of interest. I think I've been very open in my support of HB 44, and I just want to make sure that I'm always, you know, working towards transparencies. I thank Representative Stutes for bringing this to our attention, and that's all I wanted to get on the record.
And Representative Fansler, you're correct. That's the intent of this legislation, is to make sure there is still a conflict that exists, but the people sitting on these boards with the knowledge are able to now put their knowledge forward. And yeah, Representative Tarr.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. And just in response to the comments by Representative Fansler, I'll say that I shared some of those same concerns, but what comforted me is to know that there's still a process in place should there be a bad actor, given the change in this conflict statute, and that, you know, that person would still be, you know, there'd be a process to question if there were any perceived conflicts or something like that. So the fact that the process exists to remedy that satisfies my need to know that we're both accomplishing what you want to accomplish, but also, you know, having that high standard of transparency and high ethical expectations.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. Representative Eastman.
Yes, Madam Chair. I certainly appreciate my colleague's desire for transparency, and yet I'm looking at the language of the bill here and the testimony we just received from Ledge Legal that these requirements will, in fact, supersede what's currently in place. And I'm also looking at the other issue, is that we have a committee specifically designed to deal with fisheries, hence the name of the committee, and we're not the committee of fisheries and game. And so you have certainly interested stakeholders on the game side of the fence that are wanting to not have their process be changed just because of concerns that are peculiar or particular to fisheries, and I think that concern is valid. I would like to see this statute reflect that, just like our committee, you know, structure reflects that, so that we aren't, you know, in our efforts to do good by fisheries and improve that process, we aren't inadvertently changing the process in a negative way for game, which of course is also very important to this state. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to move House Bill 87 from this committee. Representative Fansler.
Madam Chair, I move that we send House Bill 8730-LS0376U, I don't believe we passed any amendments, with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note from this, zero fiscal note from this committee.
Madam Chair, we did amend the bill. We adopted your amendment regarding the word substantial.
That was withdrawn.
Mm-hmm. Oh, pardon me.
Right.
My mistake.
We went
no
over
problem.
Four on those. Right. Okay.
Objection.
There has been an objection. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Passage of HB 87 from committee. Representative Fansler.
Yes.
Representative Price Tompkins.
Yes.
Representative Tarr.
Yes.
Representative Newman is absent. Representative Eastman.
No.
Representative Chenault.
No.
Chair Stutes.
Yes.
Four yeas, two nays.
With four yeas and two nays, this bill moves from House Special Committees. Thank you. And as there is no further business to come before this committee, we will adjourn at 10:55.